You guys can pause your reading there now. That was just to give you a little bit of a feel of the direction that we're going and what we're going to be doing. But I just want to go over a few things for the class here. The first thing is that this is going to be feel a little bit more like school, a little bit more like a classroom setting than the kids' programs normally feel. But that's because we want to teach you some just really important things, and we want you to take them in for yourself. So you're gonna be I'm gonna give you little notebooks, and you can take some notes. So for the class, you do need to be able to listen and to take notes. And if I have to remind you to listen and take notes often, then there's a good chance that I will probably have to send you back to the kids' programs. As long as you can listen attentively and take some notes and follow along where we're going, then it should be fun. I do have a few little video clips and things to throw in, so it's not all just going to be. It's not meant to be boring. It's meant to be quite exciting, actually, because we're looking at the most essential things that God wants us to know and believe, moving forward as Christians, and so. It gives you confidence in your life because you know, if you know those things, these are the things that are most important to God, then you carry those forward with you in your Christian walk, and you have confidence that you can serve Him no matter how old you are. You can serve Him with everything that's in you. So again, we do want you to bring your own Bibles, and I've got some highlighters here. If you have your own Bible here today, you can pick out of here if you want to pick a color. Okay, if you don't have your own Bible, we'll try and help you get one.
Can there be any Bible?
It needs to be a Bible with the words in it like this one. Not a picture Bible, but a Bible like that. Do you have one like that?
Well, I have a boy's Bible.
A which?
A boy's Bible.
Boys? Is it got words in it or pictures?
Words.
Yeah, so that's good. So don't highlight if the Bible you have isn't yours. Don't highlight in it. Okay, just highlight it if it is your Bible. Okay, if it is your own. So you can start that next week. Okay, we're going to be recording these classes, so we're going to put them on the website. And if you miss one, you'll be expected to listen to it during the week. You can just click onto our website and find it under the kids section. Okay, our church website. Okay, we have a church website. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let you pick out a notebook right now. And unfortunately, they don't make a lot of notebooks for boys. So, guys, basically all I got to pick from is plaid. Hope you like plaid. Girls can have plaid too, but there's also these to choose from. Okay? So maybe come over here, girls, if you want to pick one of the girls' ones. There's three of these ones. And there's a bunch of these ones. Okay? And then there's these little ones. See something you like? Alright, everybody's got one? So, inside the cover, you can write down the word Okay, there's pens over here too if you need a pen.
Oh yeah.
Everybody's picked their notebook. Start by writing on the inside cover, write catechism class, and we'll put the website information so that you can you can find the class if you miss it, and it's going to be the website under here. Put ROL church.ca. Okay.
Are they capitalized?
And if you look under,
are they capital?
No, actually they're not. Well, it doesn't matter. I don't think it matters what you. Okay. And when you go to the ROL Church website, you're going to click on what's called community at the top. Okay. And under community, you're going to see a kids. Kids ministry or programming, something like that. And then off on the left side, there's going to be places that you can connect with, and you're going to see catechism class, okay? So that's how to find it. If you miss a class. Okay? All right. So with your notebooks, we're going to get you to take some notes. And if, sometimes if I'm talking and a picture comes to mind, sometimes a picture is worth 1,000 words. So as we're describing things and a picture comes to your mind, some pictures I'll give you. But feel free to draw a picture in there if that helps as well. Okay? These are your own notebooks to keep. All right. Everybody get that marked down? How to find your...
Is that an I in the middle of ministry?
Yeah. That's supposed to be an I. Okay, so we got catechism class, ROL Church. Everybody's got that down?
I just have the last one.
Okay. So this, maybe you want to put in brackets. This will probably be on the far left side. Yeah.
Where are we writing that? At the beginning.
Like, did I?
Yeah.
Oops. There's no H at the beginning. Sorry. I was just a tester to see if you were paying attention.
Probably.
Just to see if you can really take good notes. Okay. So you can start a new page now. And at the top of your page, we're going to put the purpose. The class purpose. Okay? And then I want you to write down this verse. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Okay, write down that verse. And then I want you to look it up in your Bible. See if you can find it. Okay? And if you're not sure how to do that, that's part of what we want to do, is help you to get familiar with your Bible. Okay? There's a table of contents at the beginning of your Bible.
Verse?
Right there.
In Thessalonians.
Write that one down in your book. Write the verse down. It's
yeah.
In the New Testament. Use your table of contents there, Max.
You can go to the beginning here. Right here.
Find out where it is, it'll tell you what page it's on.
880.
How are you doing, bud? Look that one up. You know how to use the table of contents? Yeah. Well, no, you don't. You can just write down a little bit of the verse. You don't have to write it all down. You can just write down the general idea in your notebook if you just want to summarize it, or if you want to write the whole thing, that's okay too. Okay, so find 2 Thessalonians. How are you doing? You know how to find it? You know how to use the table of contents? Mm-hmm. There it is. What page number are you looking for? You know? Okay, yeah, keep going. John knows how to do this?
Yeah.
Good job. Ashley knows how to use the table of contents?
Yeah, I know all the books in the Bible.
Do you? You got them all up here? Yeah. Good show. Okay, so just write down a little summary of the verse in your notebook underneath the verse. All right, and we need somebody to read that verse to us. Josiah, you got it there? Okay, let's all listen as Josiah reads it. Go ahead, bud.
So then, brothers, stand firm, do whether by word of mouth or by letter.
Word of mouth or by letter? Yeah. My version says, so then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. So this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church, and he's saying to hold firm, to hold tightly to the things that we've taught you and we've passed on to you. And that was a really important theme in the New Testament for the early church. It was for them to hold on to the things that they received from Jesus and make sure that they pass those on. Okay, so that's one of the purposes of this class. There's another verse where Jesus is talking to people that were considering following him. And he says, the cost of following me is you have to lay down your life. And if you're going to follow me, you should seriously consider whether you're willing to do that. And so there's this idea of there's a cost involved in following Jesus. And we have to decide if we're ready to do that. And so that's partly what this class is for, to help you know what is involved in following Jesus and that you can move forward confidently. So there's three things. I'm going to give you 3 points of why we would do this class. Okay, one is point number one is we want you to know the teachings Jesus, okay? We want you to know them for yourself, okay? We want you to, the second reason we're doing this class is because of tradition. There is a long-standing tradition for people that want to get baptized in the church to do what's called a catechism class. And it's doing exactly what we're doing, going through the very essential things we need to believe to be Christians. Yeah?
Do we have to write these
things down? Yeah, it would be good if you wrote these guys down. And the third purpose for the class is for your own confidence. Because you're young, sometimes we feel a little bit unconfident about our walk with the Lord, that we can really do it. But the truth is that we can, no matter what age we are. So we will do this class to give you confidence in your walk with the Lord, Okay, so there's two things here. Your walk with the Lord, but also we want you to be confident to get baptized. Because if you're confident that you can walk with the Lord, then getting baptized is just an easy step for you. It's not something to be afraid of. Okay? Second to write those all down. That's okay. You don't have to write the whole verse down.
Oh, I did.
That's okay. Oh. You can, but you don't have to, bud. That's okay. You can finish that. You can finish writing it another time. Just flip the page and write down, add the three purposes. Go the other direction.
God first be green?
What's that? Yeah, that would be Christian living, yeah. Okay, how are we doing, guys? That's okay, bud. You go ahead. We'll wait for you. How about you guys? You got it all down there?
Yeah.
Any questions so far? I know the word catechism is kind of a big, scary word, but it doesn't need to be. It's just the name of it. It's a fancy name for what we're doing. Yeah, so you're already a fast writer. Okay. If you've got those down already, you can start a new page. And this one's going to be called Church History. All right, we're going to do a quick little church history lesson. And you know what's going to be neat about this class is if you hang on to these books, these are the same things we would teach adults if they wanted to know the essential things about being a Christian. And for your whole life, these essential things are something you can always go back to. If you're ever unsure about something, you just go back to this book and you can look up, I can't remember, you know, this part, and you just look at it and go, oh yeah, yeah, I remember that class and what we learned on that. And all right, this is how we're recording the class to put it on the website. Yeah. All right. So the next title is going to be Church History. Right. No, I'm not erasing it all. I think what I should do is maybe do this over here. All right, we're going to do a little church history lesson. I'm just going to erase this a little bit here. Is anybody still writing that one? How are you doing there, Max? Last, third one. Everybody else got it? Okay. Walk. Are you mocking my writing?
Yeah.
How's that?
I just didn't say it out loud.
You were going to say the same thing? Okay. So who was it that Jesus taught? That's right. The disciples who became known as the 12 apostles. Okay? So these are the first guys we're going to talk about. Twelve apostles, they actually walked with Jesus. Okay? They saw it all. They saw his miracles. They saw everything. They saw what he had to say. Okay. The apostles. They passed on. Passed on to the church Jesus' teachings. So the apostles had a very good understanding of what Jesus was all about. Okay? And so the apostles started all the churches, and they passed on to the churches everything that Jesus had taught them. And then they died. Okay? And they all pretty much died as what's called a martyr. Okay? Does anybody know what a martyr means? Who knows? What does a martyr mean?
A martyr?
A martyr. What does a martyr mean?
Someone who would die for what they believe in.
That's right. That's exactly it. They died because they were Christians. That's why they were killed. Okay. They were killed in a sense, because they were Christians. And so they either were told to deny that they were Christians, or that they, you know, the government or whoever said, you can't be a Christian. And we said, well, I'm going to be. And they said, well, the punishment is death. And they said, we choose death because we're not going to stop being Christian. The fact that they all went to their death. Some of them got fed to the lions. Some of them got hung on a cross like Jesus upside down. That was Peter. Okay, horrible ways to die. But they would not deny what they experienced with Jesus, because they knew it was true. So this is really important, because what happens here is the 12 apostles passed on what they knew to be true to the church. Okay, and then the next group we're going to talk about is called the early church fathers. Okay? Okay. Here's a little map for you. You don't have to draw this map, but you can. And this is Israel. Okay, and the first people, what happened is the apostles passed on their stuff to the early church fathers, so now the apostles are now dead, right? They're no longer in the scene. And so you have these early church fathers who now have all this teaching, and they're passing it on to the next generation. Okay? And they're developed what was called apostolic centers. I'm going to write this down. Apostolic. Okay? So we have one in Jerusalem. Is the main one where it kind of starts. We have one up here called Antioch. I don't know if I spelled that right. No. sea? Antioch. Yeah, I think that's it. We have Ephesus. We have over here in Egypt. We have Alexandria. Over here, you got Rome. So what happens is the gospel message is spreading. All these people all over the world are becoming Christians. And these places develop that are kind of like, they're called centers. Okay? Apostolic centers. And that's kind of where the main leaders were for the church. We're at these centers. And they were just kind of help continuing to pass on the message. Explain what church is all about. Okay? Or explain the teachings of Jesus, passing them on. And so these early church fathers established these apostolic centers. Okay? They also, what's called canonized the Bible. Okay, they took, the apostles wrote a bunch of letters, which we now call the New Testament. And the early church fathers took all the letters that the apostles wrote, and they made the New Testament. Okay, canonized the Bible, New Testament. I'll put an NT here. Okay, so they formed it. And that was using and during this stage, you also have something we call the rise of false
witness
teachers. Okay? So as you're, now that the 12 apostles have all died, you have some people who are teaching what's not true about Jesus. And they're called false teachers. And they're beginning to lead people astray. Okay? And so the next thing that happened is the early church fathers started having what are called councils. Is it an ILS? Is that right? I think so. Okay? And at these councils, they were a gathering okay, it was a gathering of the leaders from all these different centers, okay? They would pick a place and then they would all have a big meeting. Okay? And at these meetings, they identified the essential, what we call essential, which is the most important. Christian truths. Okay? So all the main leaders gathered together and they said, okay, we have to make sure, because the Bible is kind of a whole bunch of teachings, right? So they had to come up with what are the most essential things that make you Christian. Because you had all these false teachers going around, you had people that were maybe Christian, maybe not, teaching the wrong things. And so they created what we call creeds. Okay? Everybody with me so far?
Yeah.
Is it okay if I erase this first apostle section?
Yeah.
Okay, so now under creed. So a creed is the essential truths of the Bible, summed up. You know what that means to say something is summed up? Yeah.
Is that 12 ED?
This here?
No, at the
ED here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
12 ED.
Okay. 12? No, that's IZED. Sorry.
I-Z-E-D.
It's called canonized.
Okay.
That's when they
but
you
that
put.
That was a 12.
Yeah, it looks like a 12. Sorry. Canonized means that they put the Bible together. It was called the canonized the Bible. Okay? So now the creed is a summary of the essential truths. Now, no creeds are like the Bible in the sense they're not the written word of God. Okay? What the Bible says about itself is very important. Creeds are just a summary of the Bible. Okay? So they're written by normal people, but they were leaders in the church at the time. Okay? And they used them. They were used to guard against false teachers. Okay? They were also used to teach. Like we're going to use a special creed to teach today. Did you not have that one? I'll leave this one on here for you. Sam can give you the missing piece there, bud.
No, I just finished that top one.
Well, this one's done?
No. Not the bottom one yet.
Okay, I'll leave that one? Okay. So they were used to teach truth. They were also used as baptism confessions. Okay? So when they would have baptisms, they would have a creed that people would say so they were confessing what it was they believed. Okay? Last thing in this section, it leads to what's called the Apostles' Creed. Okay, this is a creed that was finalized in 700-ish. It was in the 700s somewhere. 700s. Okay, we live in the year 2011. It was about in the 700th year where this was finalized?
700 or 7,000?
700. Okay. Do you guys understand the timeline from Christ? I have to draw a timeline to us, which is 2011. Right? Who? Madison was born in 1998. Right? You guys understand that this is a dating system that we live by from the time of Christ. Right? That's what our whole system is based on. And in the year 700, 700 years after Christ was when this creed was finalized into the form that we're... You can, or you can put your own birthday. When's your birthday? What year is it? Okay. Okay. Hey, Mr. Max. Hey, bud, maybe that's one that you could finish later. Can you get the notes all caught up there? Because we're going to keep erasing here. Okay, so the Apostles' Creed, that's the timeline of when it was finalized. So 700 years after Christ was when they had creeds before that, but this one, when this one came about, it was kind of like the final creed that they finally had perfected. It seemed to capture the essential truths the best. Okay. So, maybe Sam, would you turn to the intro page in the notes, in the little notebook? Read to us from the intro. The part that's called the Apostles' Creed. It's on the second page, I think. Right there, the part that's underlined. Can you read that to us?
The Apostles' Creed is the most widely used summary of Christian church and family has ever been composed. It is untested, historically rooted, and widely accepted because of its simplicity. The creed is remarkably suitable for teaching and for learning. In fact, the church has looked to the creed for theological instruction and practice guidance for centuries.
Okay. So notice some things here. They say it's widely used. Even today it's very widely... Oops. It's widely used and accepted. It's simple. It's been around for centuries. So Christians way back over 1,000 years ago were using the same creed that we're going to be looking at to help establish what they believe. And we're, in a sense, joining with those Christians. We're, in a sense, joining with them. And when we say this creed and we say, I believe, it's like we're all saying it together with them. In unison, over the centuries, people have been doing this together. All right. Kiwi, would you read on the next page beside it there, the part that's circled that says tradition? Also on the second page. Just read that first paragraph to the next part that's circled there. Read that out loud for us.
Mm-hmm. Tradition holds that the creed was named for the apostles because in solemn assembly, each of the 12 contributed one of its 12 articles before they left Jerusalem on their various missionary journeys. Although this is just pious fiction, it makes a nice story. The Apostles' Creed is anonymous, and there is no record of its authorship.
Okay, so it's saying that the rumor is that the Apostles' Creed was originally written by the 12 apostles, because there's kind of 12 pieces to it. But that's just a story. Because it wasn't finalized until here, it's more likely that it was finalized by the church leaders. And because it was something that the creeds grew over years, it was something that we don't know. Every different leaders worked on it at different times, and so there's no actual author for it, which is why there is no authorship for it. So you're not going to find this in the Bible. You're not going to find the creed in the Bible, okay? And there's no known author of it, but it doesn't mean that it's not a good summary of the Christian truth. It just means that it's like a help to help us understand what the Bible says. Okay? So one of our goals in this class is we're going to try and memorize the Apostles' Creed. In your notebook, the creed is on the third page there. You flip over. That's the creed. Okay? This is the Apostles' Creed. So what we're going to try and do is we're going to try and memorize this. And then on our baptism Sunday, we're all going to stand up in front of the whole church and quote the creed together. And that'll show people what it is that we believe and where we're confident in these things. And this is the frame of our class. We're going to be going through the creed and learning the important pieces that it has. So you'll notice there's two changes that I've written in your photocopy there. The words, as a church, we've changed a couple of words. The first line that got changed is where it says, "He descended into hell." We changed to, "He descended to the dead." And the reason we did that is there's some discussion about, there's different thoughts on what hell was before Jesus came. Some people think it was just a holding place. There was sort of like two parts to hell. There's a holding place for people like Abraham and people of the Old Testament who love God. And there was a different place for those who didn't love God. And then when Jesus died, he went down and set them free. So it's a little bit unsure. The Bible's not really clear about how that all happened. And so rather than saying he descended into hell, as a church, we say that he just descended to where the dead were. Okay? So some people have a very clear picture of hell as flames and so they think Jesus went to hell, but that's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches that he did go and release the captives, but we don't know exactly what that looks like. So that's why that little change is made. So when we quote it, we're going to say he descended to the dead. And then the next spot is it says, "I believe in the Holy Catholic Church." And the reason it says that, and it's still okay to say that, because the Catholic Church, it's a big C there, and it's talking about the church worldwide. Not just the Catholic Church, but the Church of God everywhere. And so we just changed that word to Christian church to make it more understandable. So the Holy Christian Church. And so I'm just going to read the creed to you. This is what it sounds like when you read it together. It'll sound like this. "I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And now he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting." So these are the topics that we're going to go through together as a class. Okay? And there's also a song, and you can write this down. There's a song that was written by a group called Third Day. Okay? And they wrote a song that actually sings about this creed. And the song is actually called Creed, C-R-E-E-D. And if you go on iTunes or whatever, you could download the song if you'd like, because actually when you put something to music, it's easier to remember. And so it's a really cool, I really like the third day group. And so just write that down in your book if you're...
Is it just 3 days or 3 days grace?
It's called third day.
Oh.
So T-H-I-R-D, third day. Okay? Third day, and the song is called Creed. And you can download it if you've got an iPod. All right. We're going to pause here for a second.
Four.
This is the recording in case you missed the class. Listen to it on the website. Remember the website information I gave you?
So is it recording this whole conversation?
It's recording the whole conversation. So if you miss a week, you can listen to it. You can catch up.
It's recording what I'm saying right now.
It is recording everything that's going on. Except it doesn't hear you. It only hears me, hopefully. Okay.
Should I start listening?
Nope. Now you should just start with the notes. Hey, that's something you can do at home if you want. Okay? So that's the creed. And it starts with the words, I believe. So everybody start a new page that says, I believe. And here's what we're going to talk about. Number one, I believe is a very personal statement. Okay? Oh, dear. My spelling's going. It's very personal. Okay? It's something you own and something separate from your parents. Oh dear. Okay. Up until now, maybe you've been coming to church because your parents have been bringing you, or whatever. Okay? But it's now, by when we say, I believe, it's very personal, right? You're saying, this is my faith, this is what I believe to be true. Okay? And it's separate from what my parents may believe in, but I'm now choosing for myself that this is what I believe. Okay, so it's very personal. You can write down the word means what? Okay. So I have a question for you.
Yep.
Does Satan believe in God?
No. Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes, but he doesn't. He used to be a follower of God, but then he tried to take.
Okay, hold on. One at a time. Put up your hand. Does Satan believe in God? Who thinks yes? Put up your hand. Who thinks no? Okay. Well, does Satan know God's real?
Yes. Yeah.
So does he believe that God is real in that sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So when we say, I believe in God, the question is, do we say it like Satan can say it? I believe in God. I fight against him every day is what Satan would say, right?
Yeah.
Certainly I know he's real. So we can know God's real, but when we say, I believe... What's the difference? What does it mean when we say it?
Do we actually love him?
Okay, I want you to write down, when you say, I believe, put down the words, and then when you think of the creed, it says, I believe
in
God.
Now I want you to leave a space. I don't want you to leave a space. I believe. And I want you to write in what you would say that makes this more clear what you mean. In God. And then finish with in God. Okay?
What if it doesn't work?
Well, I'll just try and stick. It doesn't have to work perfectly.
So just, it doesn't like so you put something that you want to say in there, but it just.
That's right.
In God.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to make.
So let me give you an example. Based on what you just said, I believe in and love. It doesn't have to be in. And love God. You could have said it like that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so anything that helps clarify what you mean when you say, I believe. Okay, so you go ahead and write that in. Write in what you would add. It can be a couple of words. It could be 5 words. It could be a sentence. Anything that helps you clarify that. Because when we go up and stand before everybody and say, I believe, we want there to be something behind that that's deeper than just, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, Satan believes in God. Right? That's not, but when we say, I believe, there's something more to it. Some of the words you might have thought of is, I believe and trust God. I believe and give my life to God. I believe and love God. I believe and commit myself to Him. I believe and surrender myself to Him. I believe and choose Him to be Lord of my life in God. I guess that one didn't work too good. But something like that. Okay? And what we're describing, okay, what you're actually describing there is called faith. Okay? That's a little bit different than just knowing God's real. When we describe our faith, and when we say, I believe, it's meant to encompass our faith. And faith is knowing and doing together. Okay, that's what makes faith real. Okay, faith is knowing something and it affecting us deeply, and it changing us, and it affecting the way that we live and the things that we do. Okay, so faith combines what we know to be true in our heads and what we do with what we know. Okay, so we're going to look up Romans. You can write this verse down. 10, verse 9 to 11. Okay? And this one's a little bit too long to write into your book. Just write down the reference in your book. And then we're going to look it up together. We're almost to our first video segment here. You guys ready for a video?
Yeah.
All right, let's look up this verse and then we'll watch the video. Faith is knowing and doing. You got it. So now we're going to look up that verse. You can write it on here. It's part of this. Part of faith. So maybe underline faith. Any of the green ones are meant to be like tight. Maybe I should underline them to help you. Maybe underline person. Kind of like little points. Okay. Romans 10, 9 to 11. Everybody look up that. How's Max doing? You fine in your bed? Romans 10, 9 to 11.
So I will follow the first
Salvation, I usually did in blue. Okay. I'm going to read it. Everybody found it?
Yep.
Romans. Romans 10. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Salvation is the word that we, for Christian living, is being. You may not have done a salvation. Blue and green. Okay, Romans 10. Everybody found it? Verse 9. I'll read this one. Okay. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, okay, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what?
Saved.
For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So you see how there's kind of two elements there? It says to confess that Jesus is Lord. You're making Jesus Lord of your life. And you're believing inside. There's kind of two pieces there. And when those come together, this is called, I'm going to give you a little formula. Okay? From Romans, from that verse and many other verses, we get a little formula that looks like this. Belief.
Do we write that down?
Yeah. Plus trust equals salvation. And this is what we call saving faith. This is the faith that saves us. This is how we know that we're saved. When our belief comes to a point that it makes us put trust in God, put our lives in His hands, ask Him to be Lord of our lives. Okay, that's when salvation occurs, and we call that saving faith. Okay? So faith, at the end of the day, faith gives God control. Okay, that's a real key to faith. At the end of the day, faith is saying, so somebody says to you, how do you know you're going to heaven? You say, Romans 10, 9 verse 11, 9 to 11. Right, you read verse 9 to 11 to him and say, I believe and I trust and I love him. He's my Lord, he's my Savior, so I'm going to heaven to be with him because he's going to save me. Right? You can have confidence. Okay? I think it's time for a movie. You ready for a little movie? Yeah, you can keep writing. You can stay, just stay where you're seated. I'm going to put the movie in. Over here.